Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here tonight, and good to be with you. It is Wednesday night. Yeah, hang on, I'll be right back. All right, good to be with you tonight. Hallelujah. We're here and glad to be here. Thank God everything's being worked out right, what we're believing God for. Everything works out for the good of God's glory. And, boy, that's what I'm praying for all the time and believing that I'm doing all the right things to for that to happen, right? Sometimes we do the wrong thing for a little bit or maybe, you know, get led, distracted for a little bit. It happens, man. You get used to that. Sometimes you're going to get distracted from doing the perfect thing to doing a compromised thing, and the compromised thing may get you there eventually, but it just takes a lot longer. So what I'm trying to learn how to do, honestly, is just go straight to the source, go to the root. And I haven't learned that in every area. You know, some areas I trust more than others. You know, sometimes I have a struggle and a battle with, you know, purely going with God, no matter what he says. So sometimes when he says things that are just off the cuff, you know, you're just going like, oh my gosh, you know, that's kind of hard to go with. You know, what do you mean by that? And, you know, he might explain and he might not explain. Y'all know what that's like, right? Yeah, he might explain and he might not explain. And it's his business. So sometimes we just have to trust, really have to just trust. And I'm going to just, you know, try to be as honest as I can about all that with me. And sometimes I don't do that as well as other times. It just depends on what it is and what's going on. And, you know, I'm going through things right now that's very interesting, having fun. It's in some ways it's, of course, difficult doing something new. But in all things, you know, I'm trying to learn how to be thankful. And because, you know, when things don't go exactly right for a little bit, we kind of get a little bit whiny, right? I do. I get a little whiny. We're like, what's going on over here? And so you have to, like, you know, keep your head up, keep looking up, keep believing God to show you, you know, how to get there, where to go, all that. You know, when do we turn right? Are we going to turn right? Are we going to keep going straight? What's up? And sometimes you can miss a turn. It's just like when you're driving your car, you're going somewhere you've never been before. You know, you're going to. Thank God for GPS. That helps a lot. But sometimes they can mess up a little bit. You know, you miss a turn, you know. So what? You get a little bit delayed. But the more turns that you miss, right, the more you get delayed. So it's not about you're not going to get there eventually, but it's about how long is the delay. That's the thing. How long is this delay going to be? And that happened to the children of Israel. They were delayed, you know, enough to the point to where if you get delayed too long, just like Israel, you get really, really, if you're already having trouble and not conquering things, you know, little by little, then you get more sassy, more irritable, more, am I ever going to make it? Is this ever going to happen? You know what I'm talking about, right? We all deal with that at different times. And so, but the longer you keep missing turns and not tuning your ear to the Lord, which is something you learn to do. It doesn't happen automatically. It's something you learn to do. It's not just like snapshot and you got it. You know, you don't take a course and you got it. You have to learn to work it, learn to not be afraid to make mistakes and not be afraid to fail. So that's what happens. But, you know, like I said, the more times that we, you know, on our way to somewhere we've never been before, we're maybe in a place in town or some town where we don't know exactly where we're going exactly, and we missed the turn a couple of times, and we're, you know, 10 minutes later than we thought, hey, we made it. But if you're having to stop at a motel when it should take you 30 minutes to get somewhere, and you have to stop at a motel, spend the night, because you just keep making the wrong turn, you're going to have delays, right? And then you get more frustrated. Y'all know the little trick, how it works. And so really learning how to, you know, just go right to the source and try to, you know, listen closely. That's why Jesus did so well, because he only did what he saw the Father do, right? And when you only do that, you do great. If you don't only do that, you do other things. And, you know, I don't know anybody who doesn't do other things. You know, it's just a more, the whole thing about staying right with God, like when you sin or come short or you mess up something, you know you mess it up, you know, making sure you keep that, you know, cleansed of the blood and keeping right with God in those areas. It's not like you're going to go to hell. That whole theory is from hell, is that if you mess up enough times, you're going to go to hell. Either born again or you're not, that's it. There's no in-between. And then you're learning how to work out your stuff little by little. Right, so then you learn how to, you know, cleanse yourself and keep yourself cleansed. Ephesians talks about being washed by the cleansing of the water of the word. Let's look at that for a second. Wait a minute. Yeah, here we go. Ephesians 5:26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. So we mess up something. We, you know, have a guilty conscience. It may not be anything big. It may just be a bunch of little things, you know, and you don't get it cleansed and washed. You know, you don't go to the word and get in the word and or just get with Jesus. And say, you know, hey, I'm really messing this up. And be honest about things. Dishonesty is not just being dishonest on a job or with a financial transaction or whatever. It's dishonesty is being dishonest with yourself. That's the biggest thing. And if you keep trying to tell yourself, no, I didn't do that. No, I didn't do that. No, you know, there's no condemnation, but you have to learn how to go, I did that. And you know I did that, Jesus. So, you know, thank you for helping me overcome it. He's so gracious. He knows that we were born in sin. We have issues. We got things going on. And sometimes we overcome faster than others. So he's very patient, very kind. He's truly a shepherd, a true shepherd. It's amazing. Jesus is the greatest shepherd ever. You know, we have the greatest shepherd to watch over us and to help us along the way. Man, I think if we really knew what a great shepherd that he was and how helpful he is and how forgiving and loving and yet strong and bold and, you know, if we do things enough or we're not changing and we keep going the same direction, he's liable to, you know, knock you on the back of the head real gently, like, you know, hey, wake up, boy, what are you doing? You know, you got to quit doing that. You're going to keep going in circles, you know, we're trying to get somewhere. So, at least that's what happens to me somewhat, you know, get your attention, throws a little cold water on your face or that's something, spray you with a water bottle or whatever, however he has to do it, pinch you. It's nice to get a pinch you a little bit. So it's interesting. So the main thing is that we keep making the wrong turns and then we get lost. That's what getting lost is. You make the wrong turn and you're going like, okay, that street that I'm looking for, it's not showing up. So I must have made a wrong turn. Yeah, instead of getting mad at yourself, you realize, you know, hey, this is just the way it is. I'm going to be patient and go start where I messed up and start over again. So when you sin or you mess up something, whether it's just getting upset with somebody, being impatient with them or being ugly with them or, you know, doing some sin that you know you shouldn't have done, just get it right with them. Keep yourself cleansed with the washing of the water of the word to make her holy, the Bible says. You know, it even talks about husbands and wives here, and this is Ephesians 5:26. I don't know if I told you the scripture or not. But husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a glorious church without stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, we can be sinners and not be blameless. There's some things we can be blamed for. We talked about that last night a little bit. So So what are we working on? It's not about going to hell enough. That's not the issue. You're either born again or you're not. That's it, period. And then if you're born again, you're going to find yourself seeking God. You're not going to find yourself constantly erring all the time, you know, on purpose, and then can't figure out why. Most people like that are just not born again. You know, and, you know, yeah, people need deliverance. But when even if you have the Holy Spirit inside you, it doesn't matter how many demons you still have inside you. It doesn't matter how many issues you have. The Holy Spirit is there inside you now, closely knit to you and connected to you and part of you, to where you can't do sin too long without getting totally miserable. He's there to make you miserable for doing the wrong things, right? Yeah, why? So you won't do it anymore because it's making you go in circles. You know, just like Israel, they just kept going in circles. Finally, here's the thing. If you keep going in circles over and over again, what do? You become more grumpy, like Israel. You complain a lot more. You start getting, it becomes the nature of your new, your life. You came out of Egypt, you know, yeah, but you're going in circles because you can't seem to break that thing of complaining and not being thankful. And then, you know, things get darker. Though you're born again, things get darker and darker and darker where you can't see where you're going. And then you just kind of give up and you just, you know, throw your hands up and then God goes, well, you know, I guess we'll just have to raise somebody else to do that because obviously they're not learning, you know, and that can be for any of us. God is interested in fruit. He wants to help you get where you're going. And he's not just there waiting for you. He's there with you every day, every moment, you know, wanting to help you and show you, you know, like tonight, like he's using me to say, hey, stay cleansed by the word, by the washing of the water of the word. You know, stay cleansed. Because if you don't, you become, your light gets covered up. You know, sin, and I'm not talking about, you know, just the really bad ones. I'm talking about any kind of sin. Anything that you've done that you know you did, you said something, did something, whatever it is, how little or big it was. If it's a sin, it tends to darken you. That's why we need to be cleansed with the washing of the water of the word on a regular basis. You know, that has to do with listening to good teaching, listening to good preachers, listening to good messages, you know, worshiping God, you know, getting the word for yourself. Sometimes just getting in the word itself will cleanse you. Sometimes we spend way too much time trying to stop everything and get a psychiatrist or a psychologist and get help. You know, if they're very biblical-based, that's good. But if the Bible's not involved in it, high level, then really you go, it's just all in vain. You know, they're making money, and you're just like, you know, thinking you're going somewhere, and you're not really going anywhere. Only by the word of God, when we're counseled by the word, can you really make it? Will you really get there? And just because you think you have the truth on everything doesn't mean that you have the truth. Oh, I got the Bible. I got the word of God. It's the word of God. How many times have I said that? Loads of times. Just because you got the word of God and you're sitting there quoting the scripture doesn't mean you understand what that scripture says, right? Me, you, us, right? It doesn't mean you understand. That's why Paul prayed in Ephesians for the spirit of understanding, right? The spirit of understanding is what helps you know the word. Anybody can quote the word and go, I got the word on this one. And it totally doesn't mean anything of what they're saying. Let's see, let's go there. Okay. Let me find this here. That's not the one I want. I want Ephesians. Here we go. Ephesians. Did I miss it? Well, Ephesians says it too. Here's Isaiah 11, verse 2. It said, the Spirit of Jehovah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, shall rest upon me, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So this is a quote Jesus was saying before when he walked in the earth. And the spirit of the Lord rest upon me, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding. So why was Jesus so good at knowing? He didn't just know the word, he understood the word. People can quote you scripture all day long and just live in sin, on their way to hell. I mean, it doesn't make any difference how much of the Bible and how much you say you got the truth. But do you really understand it? The spirit of understanding is all you're getting, get understanding, the Bible says. So there's just something about it that, you know, God wants you to understand that, let's go to Ephesians where Paul's talking about this. Paul's in his prayer for the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:1, that ask God that by the will of God to the saints, Ephesians, let's see here, that God may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better or understand him. The spirit of understanding, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is really not just knowing the Bible, but understanding what it says. Because if you don't understand what it says, then you got, quote, wrong understanding or wrong doctrine or whatever it is, and you're looking the wrong direction, just like the disciples did, you know, as we've talked about this many times, where they believe what the Jewish leaders taught them, that when the Messiah comes, he's going to reign, you know, on the throne of David. He's not going to be crucified. And therefore, they were looking, when Jesus talked about it, Peter rebuked him. And so would we have done the same thing. We would have done the same thing, right? We would have been just like Peter. We're trying to help Jesus. Let me help you, Lord. Yeah. And so, really, that's kind of what's going on. So to know the Bible, oh, I got the truth on this. Every religion I know of that has completely different doctrines on things, staying in a completely different place, they're all using the Word of God. So is the Word of God the truth? Or is it how you understand the Word of God that is really the truth about that Word? Yeah. Some people don't even understand how to be born again. They think they're being born again by doing works, by doing all kinds of things. You got to find out they're not born again at all but they got the Scripture saying, you know, right here, it says it right here. You know, I've said that stuff 100 times, maybe more. But we can, you know, get under good ministry, that helps. Find a good teacher, find a good anointed minister, and let the word come that comes through them. If they're God called, the word's going to come through them, and somehow, some way, God's going to cleanse you of the things that are wrong in your life. And we all have them. You know, we're not all perfect in our understanding of doctrine and all that. I mean, we're here to learn, here to grow. If you already think you know everything, and you got the truth in everything. If somebody has a contradictory thing you're talking about, it doesn't mean you have to believe what they're saying, but at least, you know, ask God, is anything they're saying right, and do I need it? Because if you do, you know, you might want to get it, because it'll help you, you know, it'll help you be looking the right direction. Instead of looking to the left, saying Jesus is not going to die on the cross, and when he said he was, they just thought, well, he just messed up. And yet they were the ones who were messed up, because they didn't understand what that quoted scripture meant, right? Yeah, so it's a everyday thing, goes on all the time, and God knows how to help with that. So how do we do it? We ask the Lord. You know, I read a scripture tonight that was so awesome in the book of Job. Here it is, Job 12, verse 11. Watch this. This is really cool. Doesn't the ear try words even as a palate taste its food? Doesn't an ear try words even as a palate tastes food? In other words, food you eat, don't your ears try words? Right. So the thing is, you know, having our ears attentive to the Lord, and, you know, saying, God, you know, it's not just about, you're not just having your ears attentive to the Scripture, you're having your ears attentive to the one who is the Scripture. And when we read the Scripture and our ears are attentive to him, then we will hear what the Scripture really means, and we will understand the Scripture instead of just having some teaching we got from somebody we thought was a really great person. You know, so that's the difference. So if you have your ears and your heart attentive to the person of the Word of God, and your ears are listening to him, then when you read the Word or hear the Word, you will be able to do like it says in Job. Does not the ear try words or taste words? You know, if your ears, in a sense, taste words, then if it's bitter or, you know, something's wrong with it, it's spoiled, you know, how are we going to know it? If our ears having the ability to taste information to see if it's good or not, or if it's God or not, And if we're looking to just, you know, people to what God says, instead of looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because when you have your eyes on him and you're fellowshipping with him, and then you get into the written word and read it or listen to it, then because you have your ears tasting of him and listening to him, then when you read the word, you see, hey, like what happened to me many times, the Lord says, you know what? You got about half that right, but the half you got wrong is really messed up, Chandler. I'm going like, what? Tell me that. Oh, my gosh. And sure enough, you know, and it changed my life. It when I changed some of the doctrine in my life, you know, it changed the way I felt about things, the way I heard God. I quit going in circles as often. I quit missing my turns as often. When I'm on my way somewhere with God, you know, I used to miss turns all the time and get excited and get in the flesh and turn right before I was supposed to turn right. You know, just like the disciples, you know, they believed Jesus was not going to die on the cross. They were turning right before they were supposed to. They kept missing what he was saying, right? So their ears were more attentive and tasting, looking for what tastes like what their teachers had taught them. And if you don't teach what their teachers are teaching, it doesn't taste right to you, or you can't hear what the truth is when you're listening to something that is the Bible. Like the Messiah was going to reign on the throne of David. That is the Bible. In fact, Gabriel, the angel, told Mary that. He told him right out. Well, that's written in the Bible. You know, the Messiah is going to sit on the seat of of David. So he's the son of David and the son of the throne of David. That is definitely the Bible. Oh, I've been quoting that Bible. I know that. You know, but totally misunderstand the whole thing, and totally, even the Jews crucified Christ for one main reason. They couldn't taste of the real word of God. They couldn't hear it. Their ears weren't able to taste it and see that it was good, what he was saying. Right? So that's kind of what's going on. All right, we're going to start early tonight. I'm praying for people, and maybe talk about one more thing if I can. I thought it was very interesting how in about the ears, you know, being like your mouth, the palate of your, if it's food, doesn't the ear try words? You know, it tastes words. I thought that was powerful. I heard that when I was walking around in my walking, and I'm like, gosh, Job 12:11 is amazing. It really hit me, and I thought, I got to talk about that for a minute. That's amazing. So that's what we want. We want our ears to be able to taste the words to see whether they're good or not. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And good is what God says is good, not what people say is good. Just because people sweeten up a scripture a little bit and sweeten it here and sweeten it there and add little flavors to it doesn't mean, even though they're quoting the word, doesn't mean it's really the real understanding they have is right. And your ears are able to taste that and see. Because when you taste something, you see that it's good or it's not good. Right? That's what Jesus did. He could, I only do what I see the Father do. Why? Because he tasted the Father. He heard what the Father said. And his ears attended to the Father, not to the law. He knew the law. He was the law, basically. He was the Word. He was the Word made flesh. But he had his ears tended to the Father. And that's why when the Father would speak to him, he would taste that and go, that's good. Oh, that's good. Even if good was going to the cross, which he struggled over, when he said, not my will, but thy will be done, nevertheless, you know, we're going to do your will. His ears could hear that was what was good. His taste buds tasted that going to the cross was good, even though it was against everything in his human body to want to go suffer like that. It's just amazing. And so I'm starting to see that we're going to miss this. We're going to only get things as we're, you know, in our heart by the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with Jesus, the written word of God, the living word of God, and fellowship with him and knowing him and experiencing him, tasting of him with our ears, what he sounds like, what he says to us. And friend, it's everything about being led and getting where God wants you to go. All right? Really, 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 really important. All right, we're going to take calls early tonight. So I'll be right back, and we will start taking callers as we do every Wednesday night. We don't spend any time talking to people. Once we start getting and taking individuals. We don't spend time talking. If you have something to say, say it real quick, please. So we got it because we have other people waiting. And if you hold up the line, they're not going to be happy. So that's what we do on Wednesdays. We don't hold up the line. If you do something, do it quick, please. And it's great to do that. And then just let us move on as God gives us. And hopefully I won't hold up anything either, right? Yeah. All right. So give me just a moment. I'll be right back. So get ready to take our callers. My first caller is 214-646. Second is 769. Third is 915. Then 754. Then 940. Then 325. Then 202. Then 402. And then 610. Then 915. Then 863. Then 240. Then 612. Then 803. Then 804. Then 442. Then 720. Then 469. Then 863. And then 303. And then we have two callers that don't have their hand up. Okay? All right, that's basically it. I'll be right back. Praying and boxing with you tonight. Let's take callers tonight. Thank you for being with us. I already gave the order of the numbers and everything, so let's... We're on the first call tonight, 214-646. I'm going to talk to Reverend, please.
Hey, Randy. It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, y'all. All right. All right. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you, Lord, for the filing information. I don't know what that is exactly, but filing information. You can take that a lot of different ways, filing information, information that we file away. But we have files of information in our brain, in our mind. And, you know, we can have different kind of files where, you know, like our brain is made to file away things. And sometimes we have to go back and look at what we filed away, see how we filed it away. Our memory and different things work on filings that our brain, it's very important. You have to picture this thing. It's kind of like you go to some people's office and they got papers everywhere. I mean, it's like a mess, you know. They're not organized. They haven't filed things. They just kind of got it. Well, you know, 3 weeks later, get the same paper sitting over there kind of laying around. And they don't file it because for whatever reason. So filing things away, filing information or filing, circumstances in our life that we have with people, experiences that we have to find out where that file belongs in our brain or mind and file it away. Like, you know, bring it to an end, bring it to a close, or, you know, how can I say this? You make sure that the information on there is complete, and then you file it for future reference, you know, to go back to. And so that can be, you know, with the brain, the mind, our thinking, how we deal with ordering our brain, keeping our mind ordered correctly, keeping the information that we have where we can get it all cluttered up and really get organized, you know, and even in with our emotions and our brain, you can have people that they're just emotional about everything. It's because they got their filing system. Their papers are scattered everywhere. They don't even know what, they don't know where stuff is. They can't find anything, you know, because it's not filed away where it has order. And so I see God really bringing order with you guys and establishing an order where, you know, in every year, not just physically filing things and getting things in order, and, you know, where things can be found and things can be, you know, but emotionally, mentally, where we file away. I used to tell people all the time, you know, I filed that away a long time ago. Let me see what I can remember about that, you know. And because I filed it away, you know, you kind of know what general department to look in for that, like, you know, a name maybe. Okay, so-and-so's name. And if we look at that name, we look at the file, and we're like, man, you know what? I need to take care of some stuff with this person because you're like, wow, you know. The last time I filed this thing away, I didn't really know what to do with it, so I just had to file it away and move on for a while. And then some circumstances start happening, and this person, and all of a sudden I got to go back and, like, you know, look that up and see where I'm at on it, see what's going on, and see if maybe we can finish up whatever needs to be finished. And that's why filing systems are so important, whether we do it emotionally, mentally, in our mind, physically, you know, filing things, you know, this is something I've been becoming better at as far as in the physical realm of filing stuff away and getting things in order. Because when all of a sudden something hits and you need to find something, you know, it's like, you know, you used to it just take me forever to find it. I would find it, thanks to God, you know, but it was like looking forever, you know, like, oh my gosh, I didn't put it there. I would put it over there. And so I got my system a little more organized and ordered. And so when I need something, you know, now I just kind of get there within two or three seconds. I kind of know exactly where to look, and I find the thing, and you know, do it instead of you know getting frustrated and you know, oh my God. In some areas of my life, I still do that a little bit, right? Of course, but God's showing you guys how to file things away in your mind, in your you know order, get things organized in your thinking. You know what's been dealt with, what hasn't been dealt with. You know, like in a law case, you know, with lawyers, they'll have cases that they never figured out what the deal was. They never, you know, came to a close on the thing, but they still filed it away. And if something ever came up about it, they could go back and find it and see exactly where they were at on it. So I don't know what this means exactly, except I see God really doing something with you guys on that. So that when you need something, you know, you kind of go right to it. You don't have to spend all day long with all the frustration, you know, trying to find that thing, you know, whether it's in your mind or physically or whatever it is. This is, like I said, this is something's been happening really powerful to me since my brain has been doing much better. It's already doing fine, but, you know, doing really, really much better. Just more structured than I've ever been in my life. It's easy. I seem to be able to maintain it instead of like organize and then, you know, for 6 months it all falls apart and then I can't find anything. Then I organize again, being able to keep that stuff, you know, disciplining myself, really just enjoy doing it and not putting off things, but getting things done. So God really showing you that a filing system in your mind, in the order of the way you do things in the physical realm, business with information and then helping other people do that so they can get structured and ordered. Because when you're structured and ordered, it's hard to be confused. It's hard to get distracted, you know, because you kind of know right where to go for things and you know right where to find that answer. Well, what about this, Tanisha, Terrence? What about whatever happened to this thing? Hang on, I got a file right over here. So, and pull it out and go, right here it is. You know, I do this with documentation things, you know, in the physical realm. And you know, and people that know me well will they'll say, "Well, what about this? It happened like 5 years ago," and in certain situations, and I'll have it filed away, and I'll go back and find the audio, the video, you know, whatever it is, and like in doing stuff that I'm doing right now, legal things, you know, because I'm really organized more than ever, and have kept things documented. You know, I've been doing it for a long time. Now that I'm going through this stuff, it's like, you know, even the attorney that I'm dealing with a little bit, it's like, you know, I think he's a little bit amazed, you know, how, you know, a 70-year-old guy who, you know, male especially, you know, this stuff is just easy. So anyway, so Lord, I just thank you for Terrence and Tanisha. God, I thank you for the structure you put in their life. It's supernatural, not just natural structure, but supernatural. Administration, you know, keeping things in order, you know, and to where when they need something, want something, have a need for it, they can just go pretty well right to it, and everybody goes, "Wow, how did you get that so fast?" Well, I got it in order over here, you know, and that was 10 years ago. Yeah, how'd you do it? Well, I got it right over here, and I see your memories and your minds becoming sharper, in that area too, all together with that same thing. All right. All right. Awesome. Order. Like I see God really bringing a whole new level of order so you can move faster, get things done, and move forward on a more of a consistent basis instead of, you know, having delays of, you know, I don't know where that's at. I can't remember. And totally changing, God changing all that and showing you how to do it. Awesome. All right. 769-220. I'm going to talk to your friend, please. I think this is Chris and Andrika. Yeah, Chris and Andrika. All right.
Hi, Randy.
Oh, this place is... Hey, okay, I'm sorry. All right, any special prayer?
Can you pray for Chris and Andrika and Torrey?
And Torrey?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, thank you very much. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Torrey, God. We just thank you, Jesus, for, you know, giving him that understanding, God, of that he can do it, that it's possible, that all things are possible, that he will be able to get the strength and the energy to have hope for the future, and knowing that his life is on the way somewhere, and that you're structuring him, you're blessing him, you've ordered his steps, and God, that he's going to step into those steps, and his mind is going to get in line with it, his steps, he's going to walk that way. Sometimes we don't always understand everything, but he's going to trust you, Jesus, to walk straight, to walk narrow, where you want him to go, where he doesn't waste a lot of time and spend a lot of time. You know, like I remember for about a few years in my life after I got out of high school, I just wasted a lot of time. And, you know, and though God still used it all, but still it was a waste, a real waste. And so, God, I thank you that Torrey doesn't, that you help him not to waste things. We all waste things a little bit. But, you know, when it comes to wasting things and wasting our life and wasting our time, you know, on things that aren't important, and then we get caught up into it and stay at it for a long time, I thank you, Lord, he's gonna walk free of that. And Jesus, he's going to be blessed. God, he's going to walk in the straight and narrow as far as moving forward and not being distracted. Jesus, we thank you for blessing him, giving him strength, Lord, and giving him insight, God, to see what he needs to see and opening up the eyes of his understanding so he can know things he's never known before and have an excitement of his ability to learn and process information and, you know, be on top of things. Amen. And show him how to do that, Father, and give Chris and Andrika the strength and the wisdom, God, on how to help him to see the greatness inside of him and so that he can see it. Sometimes we need people around us to help us see the greatness that's inside of us, see the potential that's inside of us. Sometimes we, you know, I'll be honest with you, Andrika, when I was growing up, I don't think my people around me realized how little I thought of myself. I mean, some people thought I was really a great athlete, you know, and I was really good. I was a good athlete, but I never really saw it. I mean, if I would have, I would have, you know, pressed forward with it and went to college and played ball. And, you know, even though I did later after I went through my, you know, my drug scene and wasted those years, you know, I did go to college and play ball. And so it's kind of like, you know, but that's after I got saved and got my mind straight. You know? So thank you, Jesus, that you will bring, that you will give Andrika wisdom, God, on how to bring the greatness and the things that Torrey has inside of him, God, to the surface where he can see it and step into it and walk in it and find that he just absolutely, now you don't have to make sure I'm doing it. He takes off running. You're like, slow. Now you're saying, slow down, boy. What are you doing? You go through it. And way before, it's like, we'll get him again. So thank you, Jesus, for the motivation that he has to do and go the directions that he wanted to do, God, to bring healing to people, to bring health to people, to bring people to a place of thinking right and doing things right and walking in a healthy love life in Jesus' name. So thank you, Jesus, for Andrika and Chris, God, that you've given them the wisdom, God, on how to reach you know, help their children, help people around them to see the greatness, see the abilities that they have. I never really saw the abilities inside of me. I knew I was pretty good at, you know, ball, but that's the only thing I was really good at. And even then, people thought I knew it, but in all truth, I really didn't know it. And I wish, you know, to God, somebody could have seen that in me and nurtured that with me. Then, you know, of course, I'm glad I'm where I'm at, you know, but at the time. So this is with a lot of people. And so thank you, Jesus, for giving them wisdom on how to nurture Torrey, God, and bring him to that place to where he sees the greatness inside of him, the things that are going to make him great. that Jesus, he called him to be great, because great people do what they're created to do. Great people do what they're created to do. God, so show him what you've created him to do in Jesus' name. Open him up to that. Amen. Give him freedom to do it. Amen. As he passed the test, let him pass these tests, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 915-248. Who want to talk to me from, please?
Randy, this is Daniel in Texas.
Hey, Daniel. All right, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Daniel tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for that like a new species of things. I don't know what that is, a new species. Like we're going to see a lot of new things show up in the earth, a lot of new, developments in the earth and new species. When I say species, I don't mean like a creature that walks around. I'm talking about, species. Let me see what the word species means. I kind of know what it means, but let's look it up here. So we can get some specific information. Species, definitions, if I can get something like this here. A group of living organisms, okay, consisting of similar individual capabilities of exchanging genes, interbreeding. The species is the principal natural taxonomic, and this doesn't make any sense to me, unit ranking below a genus and denoted by a Latin, I don't know. Okay, so I don't know what that means, man. That'd be good. The species, let's go somewhere else here for an example, for a definition of species, a group of organisms that can reproduce with another in nature and produce fertile offspring. Okay, so it's obviously something good, right? Yeah. Thank God for that. So example of a species is a human. Humans are example of an animal species. All right, so I think I'm going to understand this maybe a little bit. So the thing that I'm seeing here, the species, when I heard that word species, as you can tell, I'm looking it up right here on Google. So it's like humans are an example of an animal species. So what's happening is we're going to see, in God's world, we're going to see a whole different species going on. Like right now we have, in the negative realm, we have men wanting to be women. That's a whole new species, right? It's not real, but it's real. It's happening. We have men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men. That's a new species. It's like they're creating this new species of things. So it's not only in the negative realm, but it's also in the positive realm where we're going to see people going to go places with God and be things that they've never been before. And they're like, where'd that come from? Never seen anybody like that before. Never seen miracles like that. Never seen intellect like that. Never seen, what is it? It's a new species. It's like something that's new, something new. And so I see God really doing something in you to cause you to be a new species. God is making you something that you've never seen or known before, and you're going to recognize it with other people. You're going to see God's doing something very special and making things very new. And what? A cyborg for Jesus? What is that? What is a cyborg? I don't know what a cyborg is. You had to explain that to me. Maybe Jeff's going to help me out with this. I don't know. But so you see what I'm saying? It's like we're going to see things, good things and bad things, a new species of things that we've never seen before. We're going to see people being used by God in like a new species. Like, who is this? What is this? This is like a brand new thing. Like it's a branch of Christianity, but it's a manifestation of Christ through people that, wow, it's like a new species. Never seen it before. You know, we're going to see new things coming up, and you're going to be part of that. You're part of that new thing that God's doing. So, very interesting. So thank you, Lord, for giving my brother the understanding that God, that with the Holy Spirit, all things are possible. You can make out of us whatever you want, far exceeding above even the things that we can believe for. You can cause us to go places and go higher than we've ever been and be smarter than we've ever been, because the Holy Spirit working with us, making us a new species, like a new creature in Christ. When somebody gets born again, they become a new species, I guess. They become a new person. They're the same physical person, but they become a new person. Their character changes. Everything changes. And I thank you, Lord, for showing my brother God, that you've made him that, and you're making him that, and you're developing that species in him, that new thing, that born-again thing, into something amazing, far exceeding anything he's ever known or done before. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 754-255, I'm going to talk to you, please.
Hey, Randy's Donald from Florida.
Hey, y'all. All right, Donald, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Donald tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for that overcoming power, Jesus, to overcome things, to overcoming the traditions of men, overcoming the failures of man, finding out that the way Christianity has been run, it's too much of stuff and it's not enough of the other things. So it's never really like, you know, the mixture is never really right, never really correct. We have people who are Christians full of fear. We have people who are, you know, Christians that are their faith is fake. They try to act like they're all this stuff. They're super apostles and they're really not of God. And so God's going to, is wanting to show you how to find that reality of, you know, what being a real man of God really is, and knowing how to not only hear from God, but to be used by God and come in agreement with God in a way you never have in your life. And it's like I see God really showing you how to come in agreement with him, because it's everything that we do. God's not asking us to figure it all out, as you know. He's not asking us to know everything about it. He's just saying, come into agreement with me. Wherever two or more agree. I don't understand everything you're saying, but do you agree? Yeah, I agree. So we come in agreement with each other and with God. And so when we do that, then though, even though we don't understand everything, we can't figure it out, just simply when we agree with him, it shall be done. The Bible says where two or more agree is touching a thing, it shall be done. Why? Because God's saying you don't have to figure all of it. You don't have to know everything. You just have to agree with me. So, Lord, I thank you for Donald, God, turning around this new thing going on with him to just say, God, I don't understand it all. I don't know what's going on. I can't figure it out. I just agree with you. I'm just going to come and agree with you. It's like when God gives me prophetic words, Donald, just like when the Trump thing came along and Biden, it's one of the things I like to use as an example of, because, you know, I mean, I voted for Trump. I like Trump. I like his big mouth. I like all this stuff. And God's going, what'd you say? You know, okay, you want me to come in agreement with your word? In the natural realm, I didn't come in agreement with it because I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it at first. I go, what? Why don't you want? He's changing everything. It's amazing. It's really awesome. And you got to get something else, and this is your will? And I didn't understand it. I was kind of bucking against it in a sense until God began to open my eyes and show me the purpose of why he was allowing Biden to come in, and the purpose of why he was letting Trump go down and not be, you know, it, there was a reason behind all of it. And once I came in agreement with him, even though I didn't really, understand it, pretty soon, because I agreed with him, he started taking me by the hand and showing me why it's bigger and better for this to happen than it was for Trump to be in. I'm like, okay. So coming in agreement with God brings you past that thing of trying to figure it out and know it all about it. Because I don't think we're going to have that, but to come into agreement, wherever two or more agree. And with you and Tanya and the kids, the whole thing, coming into agreement isn't, you know, you always understand everything. Because women feel and do things that are different than men, and be just as much God as the things we do that they don't understand, that they think we're messed up or whatever, or not got it all together. It can both be God. And so sometimes we have to look at our wives, or, you know, our families, or whoever they are, whatever situation, and go, I don't understand it, but God, what do you say? One time Abraham told, God told Abraham, he said, you know, when Sarah said, get rid of that Ishmael, I don't want him in around anymore. And Abraham's going, that's my baby, you know? And he didn't understand it. He said, no, I'm not going to get rid of him. That's my child. And God says, he told Abraham, he said, do what she says. That was very rare, but it did happen. You know, he said, do what she says. And so he didn't understand it. He didn't know, but he came in agreement with it, and it ended up being the right thing. Sometimes we get in those things where we don't always understand it, but we just say, okay, God, you know, I'm going to come in agreement instead of trying to figure it all out. I just agree with you. And then pretty soon what happens is you get taken up into the spirit, or God begins to show you and give you understanding of what the thing you agree with him in and what it means and why it's a higher level of thinking. That's why we can't really do it. Sometimes the high level of thinking is so high, we can't really figure it out, right? So how do we get there? We just come in agreement. So So thank you, Lord, for Donald coming in agreement with you, Jesus, and Tanya. That learn how to do it with each other, even though I don't understand everything about each other. Men are different from women. Women are different from men. And thank you, Jesus, that you give them that ability to understand one another and come into agreement in Jesus' name. Especially husband and wife, thanks. Really powerful. All right. All right, 940-210, who am I talking to you from, please? Hello, 940-210.
Michael from Texas.
Oh, hi, Michael. How you doing? All right, good day. All right, Michael from Texas, thank you, Lord, for blessing my brother tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that he's caved into. And sometimes we cave into Jesus. We cave in and we just like fall apart and we yield to Jesus. Sometimes God allows us to go through things that cause us to be broken, cave in. We cave in to things. We go, okay, God. You know, and so that when temptation and struggles and battles come, we don't cave into that with the pressure, right? Because when you let Jesus break you, when you let God break you and mold you and shape you, then when pressure comes, it doesn't break you to where you yield to that pressure. You know, you're able to resist the pressure and live above it and whatever you want to say, and keep your eyes on Jesus. So I thank you, Lord, for that, for my brother being able to keep his eyes on you, Jesus, like never before. Being able to be right in the middle of a storm, a battle, struggles, temptations, and keep his eyes on you, Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for that, for the power of being able to focus on what you wanted to focus on without losing his focus and staying focused where you want him and standing still and see the salvation of the Lord. And every time emotions come that want to run his life, he doesn't let those emotions run his life. You're running his life, Jesus, and his focus on you is going to allow it to do that, where he can stay focused on you. And you're able to, keep him from failing and sinking, like Peter when he got his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. As soon as we take our eyes off the Lord, man, it doesn't mean we're going to hell. It doesn't mean we're, you know, in a backslidden state. Sometimes we just have to go around the mountain again, you know. And after a while, it gets very frustrating. So God wants to show you how to keep focused on Him in Jesus' name, and you're going to do it, bro. You're going to do it in Jesus' name. All right. 325-280, who I talk to you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, my brother. All right, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for that prosperity realm, that gift of finding things, the gift to be able to discover things, find things, without even really understanding all of it, just like some kind of spiritual thing, a spiritual experience where you just like, you know, decide to try something, and out of the blue, don't understand it, don't know what's going on, you do it, and it's like you God's really giving you courage how to step into and when you don't understand what's happening and feeling God, you know, guiding you to do something that you just take. It gives you courage. It takes courage to move beyond what you can see and understand, and step into that by faith. I mean, it takes courage. That's why God told Joshua, you know, be courageous, because he knew that Joshua was not going to make it if he didn't have courage, because it takes courage to do something. When God asked him to go do something he'd never done before with Jericho, I mean, that was totally impossible, totally impossible. And so when God told him to do it, he knew he'll never make it if he doesn't have courage, because courage gives you the ability to move beyond what you can figure out, what you can comprehend. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that, for the courage, the courageous spirit in my brother, God, to just step out by faith. And he has a gift of faith, the blessing of faith, the calling to be a man of faith and be a faithful man to God. Not about being faithful to people. Are we faithful to people? Yeah, you know, but when we're faithful to people first, then it just gets messed up. That's all I'm going to say. And I've done my share of that. But, you know, God has really taught me how to be faithful to him no matter what. People don't agree with it. They don't understand it. They'll fight you on it. And then come to find out, as it begins to slowly develop and go with what, you know, God showed me, then it changes everything. Then other people start going, oh, yeah, okay. And then your courage gets stronger. See, the more that we step out in courage, the more our courage becomes stronger and stronger. Pretty soon we're walking in heights of, you know, the spiritual dimension of faith and getting things done in the spirit realm, simply because, you know, the more courage we get and the more we see the victory, we're like, man, I didn't even know that was going to work or not. I know God told me to do that, but, oh, my God, I didn't know it was going to happen. And all of a sudden, it just happened, like, oh, my God. And I didn't even know a thing about what I was doing, hardly. Woo! Yeah. Courage to do what we don't totally understand. It takes courage, just like it did Joshua. Amen for that courage, God, and my brother. You, God's speaking over you. Be courageous. Be courageous. Amen. It's scary. Every time I step out in faith and do something, it takes courage for me to do it because the fear of the world, the fear of the enemy is right there with you. Don't you dare try that, man. You're going to make it. That's what he told Jesus. You're not going to make it. What are you doing this for? These people aren't worth this. Yeah, and he did it anyway because his father told him to. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord, for that. All right, 202-722. Let me talk to your friend, please.
Hey, Brother Randy. It's Daryl, Paul, and Nicole from the nation's capital.
Absolutely. Well, that's Texas, right? I think he's talking about Texas, I believe. Weren't you? I got him muted where he can't tell me. Hey, Texas, right, bro? Yeah, that's what I thought. Texas, yeah. Y'all are from Texas, but I know where you're from. Yeah. So what used to be the nation's capital, I don't know, that may be a word, man. I'm going like, why am I saying this? You know, when I say stuff like this, my friends will tell me, you get more stuff done from the Lord on accident than you do on purpose. Like, that seemed like an accident that I'm saying. When you said the capital, I'm going, you know, playing with you. It's the capital of the United States. It's Texas. The capital. Well, that's the capital. We're talking about the capital. I don't know how Texas got in there. I don't know how I get that messed up, but I did. Amen. All right. So thank you, Jesus, for the capital. So there's something going on about that. So I thank you, Lord, for hang on a second here. All right. So we thank you, Lord, for the capital realm. What are you doing there? The Washington, D.C. is the capital of the United States of America. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Open that up, God. The capital. So you're changing the capital. All right, man. I don't know. I'm going to go with this because I don't understand this. When you said that, something in me just went, Texas is the capital of the United States of America. Like, we know that it's not, right? Yeah. But there's something about that. And maybe Washington, D.C. is going to be the capital of the one world system, you know, so to speak. And Texas is going to be the capital of the new USA, you know. Yeah, I mean, listen, I just got that just now, man. That just poured into me like a river. Woo! I think that's a new gold. I saw a realm of gold right there that we can dig up gold, another revelation from heaven. Oh my gosh, that was amazing. I mean, I'm going to stop right now and just like talk about that and meditate on that. Texas being the new capital of the United, what would be maybe be the new United States of America? Yeah, that was definitely the word of the Lord right there. Dear God, how that slipped in. The Lord knows how to slip it in on us, bro. I mean, my gosh, that just caught me off guard. Whew, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord. Emmanuel, God is with us, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord. Man, I don't know what happened to me right there, man. Something hit me. Something hit me just then. I may be distracted the rest of the night. I don't know, but that was like, wow. You know, I wanted to rebuke you, you know, in a very nice way, of course. That Washington, D.C. is not the capital of the United States. Like, and I'm going, why am I thinking that? And now I know. Dear God, that just slipped. Woo! Pachero pova, pacuare mahoja, mache, pacomochuku, polevi, pente mahuate, pahua. Y'all got to give me a minute here. I just got hit with something. This juice shop. Wow. Golly. Woo. Puta mavite. Mashquara. Mashquara. Did you hear that? I don't know what that. I can't repeat those words when I hear them, but my brain doesn't catch it. But mashquara or something like that. And you know what I just heard, bro? And Nicole? It's like. Like Texas is going to be the capital of it, whatever they're going to call it, the new United States of America. Yeah, the capital. Whoo! And it's going to be the food land, the land of food, of grain. Yeah, I saw that. I saw it in the spirit, the land of grain. Texas is going to be the land of grain. Like Joseph, he was the grain boy, right? He had the dream of the grain. And I have a feeling that Texas is going to be the Joseph, if you will, of America. And I want to say the globe, even of the globe, somehow, some way. I don't understand that. Wow. Oh, man, I just like, I don't know where to go now. Chichawa, Ochoco, Chawa, Apawa, Aneko, Bande, Fakwa, Lekuri, Kilikus, Ngiri, Paranako, Finte, Poke, Mahwari Alahota. Man, the Spirit of God is just like speaking about that right now. Dear Jesus, Texas is going to be the new mountaintop, the hilltop of the Lord. And I'm not saying everybody moves to Texas and everybody, it had nothing to do with that, as you guys know. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. Shneko Opanaha, because the thing is, this is God designed and God planned. Not a thing of man that men think they're doing. It's a God planned thing. The battle of the ages will be over Texas becoming the capital of the United States of maybe the new, whatever they're going to be, of America. It's kind of like Israel is the capital of the world in a sense. Texas will be the capital, not of the world, but of, you know, like parts of the world. Like Israel is going to be the capital of the world. Yeah, anyway, I'm trying to work that thing. So y'all know we're trying to first be ministering to people, not revelating on that or what. I don't know. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus. I can already talk in English. Neko pawa te eta maha ye sheko to goshi kishniki poschoko papi pende panto pokotapo e shepi la paka. The land of oats, or the oats, OATS. The land of oats. I don't even understand where they grow oats at, but like the grain of God. Then I want to sing songs of glory to God right now. What is going on with that? It's like I hear the angels singing. I hear the angels singing. Yeah, they're ringing the bell, the Liberty Bell. I hear the Lord saying, He is staying, not going nowhere, not going nowhere. In other words, he's not going to be raptured off. A lot of people say the Holy Spirit's going to leave the earth. That's absolutely the most ludicrous thing that could ever be said. You know, I mean, I'm going to be, you know, be really blunt with it. Yeah, and God knows, dear Jesus, that's amazing. All right, I'm trying to move on. Now, honestly, here, somebody help me here. Thank you, Jesus. Pray for me in Jesus' name. Something's happening. Nation's capital. With you tonight. Oh, okay. So, Oh, you just texted me. That was you. God told me, this is Daryl Paul, told me to use the term nation's capital with you tonight. Not sure why. Oh, so in other words, when I came on, let's hang on a second. Let's go here. So in other words, Daryl Paul, when I came on tonight, you felt like you were supposed to say that before I came on and got you?
Right, because when I saw we were like sixth or seventh in line, and I know you always kind of joke with me about, you know, when I say Maryland and D.C., and then something hit me right before the God said, use nation's capital. Just use it. And I was like, but why? You know, it was weird, but he just said, say
it. Yeah.
So
wow.
That was strange. Yeah.
Dude, that was because when you said that, instantly I wanted to say, it's not the capital of the United States of America. It's Texas. And I mean, that's really, so that's mind-boggling. So something just shifted. Something just shifted right there. And I don't know whether it's because Washington, D.C. is, you know, Washington, D.C., you know, where the political, you know, where the strongholds. I really don't know. I mean, I want to be, I don't mind being where the enemy's at. He's going to prepare a table for me, and it's my enemies. And I live there. I already live there to a certain degree. And I'm just learning how to do it better, you know. But so it doesn't matter to me where I live. I could live in Washington, D.C., right in the middle of everything, if it went all weird, or be in Texas, or be in Iran. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. So it's not about, like, I have to be in a certain place, but there's just something going on with that tonight. So, wow.
Randy,
yeah, you kicked it up, dude. Yeah, go ahead.
The thing, and like I said, the Lord told me to tell you that tonight, but I think for a reason, because the revelation you just got with it, but think of it like this. You're in Texas. The red heifer was found in Texas, and you said Texas was going to be a big part of the Great Tribulation. So there's a lot of stuff going on, like you say, with Texas. And,
wow.
You know, you happen to be in Texas because you're the prophet of the Lord. He chose you to be, you know, to live in Texas for a reason, and the red heifer to be found in Texas as well. That's a big sign to me, and 12 miles or so from your location.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I know. That's true. Yeah, it is. I think it's actually 17, but somewhere in there. It's really close to that. Yeah, something like that. As a bird flies, I think it is 12, but yeah. So, yeah, so that's really cool. What a great point tonight about that, because something just kicked in with me when you said Washington, D.C. It's like I want to say that's not the capital of the United States. And so when you bring that up about the red heifer in Texas and the fact that we're in Texas, you know, I'm in Texas as a servant of the Lord, and God has had me prophesy about Texas, not because I live here, but because it's the spirit of the Lord, you know. And now we're seeing all this stuff begin to develop about the currency and the gold-backed, the bullion-backed debit card, and they're voting that in. You know, Oklahoma already voted in, and then it's just going to follow suit. But and then the red heifer came from Texas. That's a really good point. Yeah. So, wow. And it's like tonight the Lord just declared over me that Texas is the capital of whatever we're going to call it, I don't know, of the new nation or whatever it's going to be. Wow. What a way to announce something, Lord. Thank you for that. That was cool.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, that was awesome. All right, I got to move on. I'm getting stuck here, although I think, you know, I don't mind getting stuck. I like to get stuck with the Lord, man, that was – I'm glad you said that, because when I heard – as soon as I heard you say the nation's capital, which you never say that. You've never said that I know
right.
of. It's like something in me goes – yeah, go ahead.
No, you're right. But there was a reason why he wanted me to use that term tonight, and I wasn't understanding why, but it was like he said, just use it, nation's capital.
Yeah. Yeah, because in my mind it caught me off guard, because, number one, you never do that. Number two – you know, as we know now, God was trying to say something. And like you said, the point of the red heifer, the red heifer is so big because most people don't have that understanding yet, but that how big the red heifer is, because it's the turning point of pointing to that the Antichrist is going to enter that temple sometime soon. That's
right.
What that means,
right.
Which means where we're at. And what's God been saying about Texas for the last few years? If people have been listening very close, here on PGN, we've been talking about Texas a lot, starting with, you know, a lot of things. Anyway, yeah, so Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. All right, I got to move on here. I'm going to get stuck. We'll stay on that all night long because I love this stuff. All right, bro.
Thanks, Randy.
I can't tell if I'm going to. Yeah. Okay, hang on a sec. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'll just with one final comment. You always make comments about the wound and how, you know, you were predestined in the wound and before God knew all this stuff. Again, a reason why you were placed in Texas, the red heifer was found in Texas, and the reason why Texas is going to be a big part of the end times because of everything you've been prophesizing. Okay, that's all I want to say.
Yeah, and let me add one thing to that. And not only did the red heifer come from Texas, but it came and right down the street from me, but even more than that, it came from one of my good friends.
Right.
This man has supported my ministry over the years. He's come on, he's been on the show, you know, before 2014 was the last time he was on the show, but he's been on the show with us. I didn't even know his brother. He never talked about Ty, his brother who grew the red heifer. That they've been looking for 2,000 years. I didn't even know that at all. That's why when I called up that day when I found out it was, Judy sent me a link saying, here's the video. They're saying it's in Rockwall. I said, Rockwall, Texas, that red heifer? That's kind of down the road. I said, I'm going to find out who that is. So I got on the internet. I started looking around and I found the ranch because they had the name of the ranch on there. And I thought, Davenport, similar. Why is that familiar to me? I don't know what's going on with that. And so I called the ranch hand who ran the ranch of the red heifer, and he answered the phone. And he said, oh, this so-and-so. I said, my name's Randy. Is this the red heifer people? And he goes, yeah. The red heifer people? Yeah. He said, is your brother Brian Davenport by chance? He goes, yeah, that's his brother. I went, oh, my God, man. And then I just, like, my mind just went, dear God, it was amazing. So,
places in the world, it was found in Texas, and you happen to be affiliated with the family. Out of all the people in the world, the prophet of God was affiliated with the person who has the red heifer, their family. Like, that's beyond a coincidence. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I always go back
to
that.
My God. I know. And the fact that we gave the name of the Antichrist 3 days, we gave the name of the Antichrist that I had for 12 years and always gave hints about it, trying to help people, you know, guess who it is. And some people guessed, some pretty good guesses. And then on the 12th of 22, on the 12th of September, 2022, you know, I gave the name, and then 3 days later, the red heifer shows up in Israel. You know, I mean, come on, that's not
right.
Like you said, those, you can't make that stuff up, and you can't. That's just like too unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, I'm so excited that I can't even talk. tongues are wanting to come out of me instead of English. So, all right, bless you, man. Bless you guys. That was awesome. Wow, that probably why we started early tonight because. We got attracted. Let's just use the word. We got attracted to Jesus. We got attracted to the Lord for a moment there. Yeah. We flowed with him. Yes, we did. Anyway, okay. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's like stuff is happening. And then, y'all got to pardon me for a minute. When I get on, you know, and then what happens? What was it, yesterday or the day before yesterday? Was it Monday night that that Nathaniel Rothschild's father passed away and made him the head of the household? The timing on that with the war and God and all the things we've been talking about, and then the red heifer thing, and now the red heifer is literally ready. The red heifer got ready in, what was it, November? When was it ready? I get all my numbers mixed up here. Yeah, it was November of 2023. Yeah, is when that happened. And so, Nathaniel just inherited all that money. Who's saying that? Don't know the Rothschild head. Did you know Lord Rothschild, the head of Rothschild, died 2 days ago? Okay, yeah, Nathaniel just inherited all the money. Check his net worth. Yeah, I don't know what his net worth is, but whether they even reveal it or not. But interesting, very good. Yeah, I knew that he died. I talked about it on Monday when he did it. This must be Mike, I guess. I don't know who it is. Anyway, awesome, man. Isn't it awesome? This is amazing. So, wow. And just tonight, we got another download. This is a very important download because when he said capital of Washington, of the U.S., Washington, I went like, no, it's not. That's what I wanted to say. No, it ain't. And I'm thinking, then I thought, yeah, I think it is. Let me double check here. Even though I knew it was, I double checked. I Googled it. That's because my brain just went like, what? Not anymore. It's like that got erased from my brain, and I didn't know what the capital for a second there. You know, of course I knew, but there for a second it's like it got erased and something new got put in there. A transplant, a Texas transplant of God just saying, I just removed Washington D.C. from being the capital, so to speak. In other words, that or the Texas is going to take over a new capital place with the United States. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. We'll figure it out as we go along. But this is amazing, y'all. And there's so much stuff going on right now. I can't even keep up with myself. I thought I already had too much going on. Now I got way too much going on. It's like I can't. Thank God my brain is like activating at higher levels, or I would just like be overwhelmed. Literally, there's that much going on. It is amazing and beautiful. Not bad stuff. Glorious stuff. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for my brother and sister tonight. Thank you, Lord, for them, for their life. We thank you for Daryl, Paul, God, and Nicole. We thank you, Jesus, for Father, for such a time as this. We are in this. We are in this nation, in this world. Whether they're in Washington D.C. Or Texas, the new capital of this new country that God's raising up. Wherever you are, we're born. I've been born. You have been born for such a time as this. And though Haman thinks he's going to hang us, Haman's got something coming that he don't even know. Yeah, he don't even know. And we're going to have to rise up. I'm talking to you guys, right? Yeah, to Nicole and Daryl Paul. That we're going to have to take courage like she took courage. Esther took courage and risk her life to barge into the kingdom hall where she didn't belong, knowing that she could have been killed no matter who she was. And by the king even. And the king says, no, I welcome her. What do you want, honey? What do you want, dear? It's not a good time right now. You're busting through those doors like you own the place, you know? Like, okay, because I love you so much, I'm going to let that happen. Like, what do you want, dear? Haman. I'm going to hang Haman is what happened. Yeah, something like that. So such a time as this, man. Woo! And the people that we know, like me knowing the red heifer guy, you know, and his brother, which lives right across the street. I've been to Brian's house once before, went out there. Once to his house many years ago, and like 2010, 2011, I don't remember when, maybe 2012, somewhere. And I hadn't been back out there to that particular area in years until I went out there with Jeff and Yuki, and because we were looking for the red heifer thing, and still didn't even know it was like where's Brian at? And anyway, so we called Brian, got Brian on the phone while we were out there, and he said, "Oh yeah, that's right, you're just right down the street from your brother." Because I can't remember where he lived until we got on the phone with him while we're out there, right? And he says, yeah, Randy, we're just right over here. So we went over there and we spent time with him. It's amazing. And I can't go any further with that. I was like, my God, I'm going to get lost. I will not come back until tomorrow or something. I don't know. Woo! There you go. There you go, guys. All right, 402-651. We'll talk for you, please.
Hey, Randy, it's John in Wilson, Omaha. If you can pray over us and my health again, please.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa, God, and for his health. Jesus, we thank you for your resurrection power, God, working through my brother, God, in Jesus' name. And we take authority over every infirmity in Jesus' name. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. I bind you, cast you down. In Jesus' name, I speak and declare the Holy Ghost power over you, the blood of Jesus washing through your system, washing through your spirit, washing through your soul, washing through your body in the name of Jesus to restore you to health and wholeness in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Give unto the Lord. Give unto the Lord and give him praise. Give God, give to God, and give unto the Lord praise. That's what the Lord's saying to you, John. Listen, give to God what belongs to him and give God the praise. That's how you're going to give him the praise, is giving to God what belongs to him. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. And God's going to bless you. All right. All right. 610-969. Him and talk to the company.
Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa
yes.
from PA. Shalom.
All right.
Prophet Randy, would you be able to
yeah.
Good to have
good.
Would you be able to pray for my family as well? My mom,
yeah.
Sandra, and Devante. And also I wanted to say what do you think about those wildfires too in the Texas?
I can't hear you because you're echoed out.
Hold on. Can you hear me?
Say real quick, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I said, could you please pray for my family, Ms. Sandra and Devante? And also, what did you think about the wildfires? Because I think that has something to do with Texas as well. That's bizarre.
Oh, okay. I really don't know. Yeah. Very interesting. Okay, thank you. Yes. Thank you for Devante and Ma. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. I don't know about the wildfires. I did see some of that. But I haven't really had time. There's so much going on, man. It's just like wild. It's amazing, good and wild. But thank you, Jesus, for that. And we thank you, Lord, for the intervention, Father, into Devante and Ma, into their life. God, the spirit of intervention. Jesus, we always believe you, God, we all need intervention in our life. I mean, I'll take intervention every day if you give it to me every moment, if that'd be possible. Yeah, I thank you, Lord, for intervention, for intervention, for intervention, for intervention, for intervening, intervening, and convening, and convening in Jesus' name. Intervening and convening in the name of Jesus. Intervening and convening in Jesus' name. Open that up, that dimension, Father, the blood of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for Lisa, God. We thank you, Father, for blessing her and that she will walk in the truth, live in the truth. Like never before, not just what Scripture says, but what does it mean? How do we understand what the Word says? A lot of people quote Scripture, as we know. We talk about this in the message tonight, but so we hear so many people quoting Scripture, and we've done all of it ourselves. We've all done that, but what does it really mean to comprehend what God is saying out of His Word? Jesus spoke things all the time, and most people just like, well, man, it's really awesome, but I don't know what He means. Do you know what He means? And I didn't mean messing. I don't know. I didn't mean why? Because they couldn't understand it. The Holy Spirit's the only one that can do that. So I thank you, Jesus, for the spirit of understanding in Jesus' name in her life, God. Open it up like never before in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 915-929. Can I talk to you, please?
God bless you, Prophet Randy. This is Carmen from Texas.
Hey, Carmen. All right, Carmen, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for that alabaster box, God, that alabaster box where the Mary, you know, the woman who anointed Jesus' feet broke that alabaster spot. It was an expensive spikenard. I believe somehow, you know, many times I think it was, you know, there was money in the family, and there was money in the family that, but yet at the same time, you know, she took that and she offered it up to you, and she broke the seal on that. I believe it was at one point Lazarus' sister was one of the Marys. I don't know if that's the one or not. I can't remember, but I never really said that. But thank you, Jesus, that the spirit of worship, God, that spirit of sacrifice of the Lord that said, God, I love you so much. What it cost me means nothing without you, that I'm willing to pour out my greatest on you, Jesus. Broken and spilled out for love of me, Jesus. My most precious treasure poured out on me. Broken and spilled out for love of me, Jesus. Yeah, for love of me, Jesus. Oh, Shekata, Lord, that she will see how much you love her, God. That she will, and as she sees that, God, that when we see how much Jesus loves us, Carmen, then nothing is a sacrifice. It's all like, who cares? about all this stuff. I'm going to give it all to Jesus. I'm giving it all to Jesus. It all belongs to Jesus. I'm Jesus. Everything I have is Jesus because I love him so much. That let the love of God be poured out through her, God, that she offers up her best of everything she has, God, in whatever way you have her do that in Jesus' name. Make it known to her, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because just like, you know, I don't want to get into too much about that, but things that God's had me do personally, I know in my own life, that when he's told me to do something that seemed costly after I thought about it, but when he told me to do it, it was like there was no costly to it. It's like, you know, who cares? The costliness of it. You think about that later, like it was extremely costly, wasn't it? Like, but when God tells you to do something, it's like the beauty in it, the love in it, the doing it for him and how precious that he is, it just means nothing to take, you know, they said that Spikenard could have paid wages for people for a year or something like that, a year's wages. That was pretty expensive, and yet she just, like, without them meaning anything, she just poured it out. It filled up the whole room. It was amazing. Probably stayed there for days after that because it was so potent, so powerful. Thank you, Lord, for that act of worship in her life in Jesus' name and bringing that forth. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 863-605. Who am I talking to from, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki. Could you pray for Destiny, please?
Absolutely. All right, girl, good to hear you. All right, thank you, Lord, for Destiny, God. We thank you, Lord, for Destiny, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for superseding anything that the enemy would try to do, superseding anything that human beings would do, that you show her the superseding power of God. Let me look up the word superseding. All right, hang on a second. Superseding. Oh, superseding definition. Take the place of a person or thing previously in authority or use, supplant. The older models have now been superseded. Okay, it's like something being replaced, like taking the place of a person or thing that's in authority to supplant. The old models now have been suspended. In other words, superseded. The older models have now been superseded to supplant, to replace, take the place of, to take over from. In other words, you know, like she could be taking over something for somebody else. Or somebody might be trying to take something over for her. Whatever it is, God's dealing with it. In Jesus' name, what does superseding mean? Let's look it up. I'm Googling all this, just letting you know that I don't know all this stuff. To replace something, especially something older or more old-fashioned. Yeah, something like that. Very awesome. To replace in power, authority, effectiveness, acceptance, use as by other person or thing. To set aside or cause to be set aside as void, useless, obsolete. Usually in the favor of something mentioned, to make obsolete. Supersede. All right. I don't know what all it means exactly, but there you go. We think that superseding thing happening with her, in Jesus' name, make it known to her, God, the purpose of all that, what's happening to her. God, that you are involved in delivering, showing, revealing, in Jesus' name, to Destiny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you, Lord, for Charles and Nikki. Thank you, Jesus, for the time. The time that they've given to you, God, their life, their times, the life and times of Nikki and Charles. That's what I want to say for some reason. The life and times of Nikki and Charles. Like the life and times, like a movie or something, or like a book, or like the life and times. It's just flowing in my spirit, right? I'm just telling you what my spirit does. So, the life and times of Nikki and Charles. Yeah, like a book or something, or like a, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? The life and times of Charles and Nikki. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that, whatever's going on with that. That God, that people will know their life, that the value that they have in you, Jesus, and how they've given their life to you, Jesus, and, you know, and love you, and thank you for all you've done for them, and all the things you've brought them through, taken them through, things that, even their disappointments and their heartaches, and how you know, showed them how to do things, what to work, the life and times of Charles and Nikki. Yeah, the Altmans. They ultimated it. Yeah, I don't know what that means exactly. There you go. All right, 240-482. Who am I talking for? And where are you from, please?
Good evening. This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, good evening to you, Valerie from the Carolinas. Thank you, Jesus, for Valerie. Thank you, Lord, for that. Like I would say Valentine's Day, like, you know, Valentine's Day. When you think of Valerie, you think of Valentine's Day. Tonight, at least I am, like Valentine's Day, like valent. I need to get the word valent. Let's go here. He was saying valent. I don't know. Valent. V-A-L-E-N-T-E. Oops. Valent. Valent. All right, valent. Having a valency of special number. Trivalent, denoting a structure of chromosomes. A valent is, I've never even heard of this word before. I don't want to interpret the word. Something to do with genetics. Composed of a specific number of chromosomes. Univalent. I guess univalent is like whatever that is. Having a valency. I've never heard of this before, so give me a second here. Let me look at this up. Valency is a British term for valence. Carbon always has a valency of 4. I don't know what this is. I'm going to have to go back here and see what's happening. Valence. Having a valence. That's the thing about stepping up by faith and just doing things, is you never know where it's going to go. All right, having a valence, quadrivalent, having homologous chromosomes, homologous chromosomes, univalent, having antibodies, multivalent, of the number of species of initial, you know, that makes any sense to me at all. So something about balance. I'm trying to find something here. You have to let them tell you how they feel. Thomas Fallon, who runs the school. I don't really know what that means. So thank you, Jesus, for Valerie. God, I'm trying to step out here to see the power of life in her, Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the seed of the Word of God inside of her life, God, that can create and make the seed of the Word of God, Valerie, makes things into the image of Christ Jesus. Everything about the seed of the Word of God, if we understand what the Word of God is really saying by the Holy Spirit, and we comprehend it, what he's saying, it always creates that species that is from heaven, a heavenly species, a heavenly body, a heavenly understanding, a heavenly atmosphere, a heavenly circumstances where God begins to bring heaven to earth. And I thank you, Jesus, that you begin to open her up, Jesus, open Valerie up to this whole other realm of the life of God, of the very power of God's seed and the word and the sperma. Sperma is like the seed, like, you know, a seed of a man for a woman to create life, to create new life. A whole other set of chromosomes, a whole other set of, you know, a new species, if you will, of, you know, so something that's never been created before. Every person is a person, is something, is someone or something that has never been created before. Where that's going, I don't know, but I thank you, Jesus, for that and bless that, God, that you're creating in her things she's never seen about herself or known, because it's you bringing life inside of her. Pasero, hakababa. Life. God is bringing forth a new species. I got that word earlier tonight about species, too. I think I'm praying for Daniel tonight. And the species of God. The species of God. I did my best on that. So, bless your heart. All right. 612-991. Who would talk to me from, please?
Hello, Randy. This is Joyce, Minnesota. Thank you.
Joyce, you are welcome. You know, for Joyce, like I see God, you know, showing you how to keep yourself cleansed every day. Cleansed meaning not necessarily things that we do wrong. Only, you know, we all mess up. We all make mistakes every day. We come short. But how to cleanse yourself in a sense that sometimes, you know, the world itself is just, you know, always trying to draw us away from Jesus or make us sad or make us think about the wrong things and get our mind on the wrong things. And it's always trying to make us unclean. Even if we never really do anything, quote, wrong, the world itself and the atmosphere of the world and everything in it is trying to draw us away from Jesus. So God's showing you how to cleanse yourself on a daily basis by eating the Word of God. Things in the Word God gives you every day, even though you may not always understand everything you're reading, there's something about it that's going to cleanse you and wash you and keep you from it. Sometimes we're affected by it, and we're all affected by this. Anybody who lives in the world is affected by the world atmosphere. You know, we can be really affected by it if we're not, you know, walking in the Spirit, but it tries to affect us every day. It's always trying to draw us away. So we need to be cleansed and washed. And I saw you, like, eating the Word of God, and it, like, cleansing your teeth for some reason, and cleansing, and like it's a cleansing agent. As you eat the Word, it cleanses you. It takes away stains. Like, we have stains. Our teeth are not perfectly pure or white like they were when we first got them, right? They've grown a little bit darker, maybe not very much. But sometimes those teeth are really white, but compared to what real white is, it's not right. So God is cleansing you, you know, keeping you pure from the oppression of the enemy, the oppression of life, the oppression of lies, the oppression in the name of Jesus, and teaching you how to keep your spirit man, your soul, your mind, you know, cleansed with the Word, with the washing of the water of the Word. Ephesians, I talked about that tonight. Ephesians, where is that at? Yeah, Ephesians 5:26. Yeah, something about that. Amen. So that's really cool. All right. Wow, I'll take that. I need that. I want that every day. I love to be pure. I want to be pure. I want to be clean. Yeah. Amen. In Jesus' name. So when you're cleansed, like we talk about it in the message tonight, when you're cleansed, your ability to feel and sense God's spirit and feel and sense what he's doing and what he's not doing. You know, like we said tonight, the scripture I saw it in Job 12, whatever it was, I read that earlier, that it says that that the ears, just like our palate of our mouth tastes food, our ears, hear what's really going on. You know, our ears taste things, what we hear, taste things. And so thank you, Jesus, for that ability that you're making her more sensitive to you, God, more than ever. In Jesus' name, and showing her how to stay in that sensitive realm of keeping all the junk. Just the more stuff, like on an antenna, if an antenna keeps getting a bunch of stuff on it, it little by little, the sensitivity and this ability to pick up the waves for the TV to work right, it gets started getting, you know, worse and worse and worse and harder to see, and pretty soon the antenna gets covered up, so to speak, and it's like it not really. The same thing with our spirit and the sensitivity of our spirit, keeping our spirit man clean, our mind clean, from just the activity of the world. Just it goes on every day. All right, thank you, Lord, for showing her, for cleansing, washing, and keeping her sensitive to your will, God. You know, pain and heartache, things we go through with kinfolk and the loss of stuff, the gain of stuff, of life, the problems that go on, try to dull our senses with God. And we have to keep cleansed from all that. And I thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 803-991, who I talk to from, please. All right, 803-991. This is Angela from the Carolinas. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Angela from the Carolinas. We thank you, Jesus, for giving her that upgrade, God, for an upgrade in her spirit, man, an upgrade in her soul, an upgrade. Like, you know, where phone gets upgrades, and like it says, you know, during the night, your phone upgraded, you know, when you were sleeping. Like I see this upgrade going on, maybe even while you're sleeping, literally like that. it's like our phones, you know, when it comes time for a new upgrade, to keep it up to date with everything. Because if we don't keep our phones, quote, upgraded and up to date, we don't get things as easy. It makes it harder for our phone to work. So we have to stay upgraded on how things work in order to be able to receive information, process information, and communicate and that kind of thing. So thank you, Jesus, for that whole upgrade with Angela in Jesus' name, an upgrade in the spirit. Hallelujah. All right, 720-819, who would talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Jeff and Yuki, Nevada, Colorado.
Don't mess with me. Do not mess with me. Hey, what was that? What was that? That Gorg Jesus thing, was that like a new species? Is that what you're trying to say,
Randy? That's from Star Trek. It's a machine human AI sci-fi person.
Okay, now that you say that, I do kind of remember that. But when I saw that, I'm going like, that's weird, man. He's weird. That dude is weird, boy. And the whole time,
Terminator
it was like
for
that.
Jesus.
Okay. Okay, I got it. I'm slow, but I'm getting faster sometimes. I'm glad to hear y'all finally straightened up, and you're in both states now. That's cool. Rightly divided. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Jeff and you. Thank you, Lord, for Yuki Gabby. Thank you, Lord, for it's like I see you getting new wires for your system. It's like when we get a house and get where the lights don't work right and things, you know, we turn on light and the breaker breaks and that kind of thing. And so what you have to do, you have to get an upgrade on your cable system, your wiring. And so I see God really doing a new upgrade with your wiring system, you know. In other words, so you must be doing something right because he's upgrading your wiring. He's like redoing your wires. So you can receive more power and things can function faster and easier. And like, it's like an upgrade from, you know, like an old computer to a brand new computer that has a whole different system. It's like, I see God giving you a whole different system in Jesus' name. Amen. I kind of feel like that's happening with me, with my brain, really. You know, it's not anywhere near perfect at all, but it is so much higher than it used to be. It's amazing. And my brain was okay, but it was like, man, soaring like an eagle in some areas. Yeah, something's happening. All right, thank you for Jeff. And I just feel like the same thing with you, man. I want to say the same thing. It's like God's giving you a new set of system wires, connections in your mind, in your body, and like a whole new system. God's wanting to set up a whole new system. It may be the way you're thinking about things, the way maybe you're processing about how God wants to do things in the earth, maybe in Nevada or in Texas or Colorado or wherever it's going to be, you know, to a whole new ability to process information. The way we process information is going to be like, you know, 3 years ago we heard about Jesus and we processed information about what we thought about him. Like, okay, he's the Messiah. He's going to come back soon. But now we hear the name Jesus in our processor, our new processing thing. It's called a thing. It brings a whole nother level of Jesus in a way we've never known. We're like, what? He's a bright and morning star. He's the glory of the ages. He's like everything we've ever needed, wanted, couldn't get. It's like he's the inventor of all. Yeah. So whatever the thing is, it's like. So when somebody feeds information into you, your brain or your mind or whatever your heart, or you eat information, you partake of it, it starts processing through and just brings everything to a higher level, like you're processing things at a higher level as far as the breakdown of it and not just seeing the surface of a thing like Jesus and Jesus coming back, you know, that's all that's true about Jesus. But see, you start seeing so many more things about Jesus. Because something in your new processing way of information is breaking it down and getting a broader view of, you know, God, a broader view of a problem where you can solve it, a broader view of, you know, how to work things, how to make things work in the earth at a high level, like how to grow food, how to process things, how to, you know, whatever. Yeah, a whole other level of – so that's kind of – like I said, it's happening with my brain, too, to a certain degree. It's like – now I'm getting things, and it's like it goes places I, you know, I'm going like, where, man, that went, whoa, where'd that go? That was amazing. Wow. So yeah, something about that. That's amazing for both of you too. That's really cool. I didn't expect that. So that's awesome. All right. Jeff and you. Little spook. All right. 863-808. Can I talk to Ruth, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl from Florida.
Hey, Cheryl. All right, good day. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Thank you, Jesus, for the end times, the end times, the end times. Seeing the end times as the end of an age instead of the end of the world. Like, oh, God, doom and gloom. Like, you know, most of us think, you know, I think we all think about that. We think the end of the world. The end of the world. What do we think? Doom and gloom. And like God shifting your thinking to the end of the world as being the end of an age. To something that we are expectantly looking for instead of like, oh, God, we're fixing to go through this really horrible. It's to seeing it as the last bit of a transition into something gloriously brand new that we've never seen before. And so, therefore, as we go through this tribulation, the great tribulation, if we are going to go through it, we're going to go through it with more of an understanding of great excitement because it's just going to reveal, it's going to be obvious and reveal that we are right there. And it really, it's hard to believe. It's been hard to process, but Jesus is literally coming back. I mean, it's like, oh my God, are we really the generation? Well, are we really the generation of the red heifer? Yeah. Are we really the generation of the Antichrist? I think so. I know so, but you know, everybody has their opinion, I guess. Are we really the generation where the Gaza war is going to be the thing that changes, opens up the door for all this stuff? Yep, we are. So it's like we're going to go from a lot of the false teaching, a lot of false things that we've all heard about how, oh, my God, it's going to be so – it's going to move into an expectation of, oh, my God. If that's true, within about 7 years or so, Jesus is going to be back on the – oh, my God, it's going to be amazing. So we process it differently and we go through it differently, looking forward to – that way that no, quote, worse things in the world happening can affect us as worse, because worse means glorious to us. The worst means the best, because we're going to see beyond the doom and gloom, which most pre-trib people have on their eye and you know, have in their mind. It's like the doom and gloom, we can't be here for that, it's going to be so bad. We're going to see it in a whole different light as being, oh, my God, it's the greatest signs ever that Jesus Christ is like coming back to kiss the earth and maybe us. Yeah, that would be cool. All right, amen. Jesus' name. All right, 214-701. Who would talk to you from, please?
Hi, this is Latoria from Texas.
Hi, Latoria. All right, Latoria, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that. I don't know if you're going to reach different languages, different people. Maybe you already do. I'm not sure, but I just all of a sudden saw you reaching different groups of people. Like maybe you reach the Germans people, let's say, and then all of a sudden you're going to find yourself reaching French and Italian and Israelis and Chinese and you know, the Mexican people, you know, I mean, like all, like I see you somehow, I don't even know what this means, whether you're going to be communicating with them under God's going to connect you with him. God's going to broaden who you are, for you can be more. You're going to be more accessible and have more ability to, you know, to be able to connect with people in a much larger way. So that the more our mind opens up to the broader understanding of who people are in general. That a human being is a human being. They're all made by God, and we see them as God's children instead of a Chinese or a German or whatever we see them as. An Asian, we see them as, you know, God's children, and therefore it opens us up to being able to, you know, when we really have a mind change in our heart, which we all need, by the way, to accept every human being, every kind of human being as a child of God or a human being that God made, that when we see that and it really changes our mind, then all of a sudden those people that used to walk up to us and they didn't know why, but they wanted to walk away. They didn't know why, but they wanted to walk away. But now they walk up to us and they go like, man, something's different here. I like this. I'm Chinese, and I think Latoria loves me. I think that I'm a Mexican, and I feel like Latoria loves me. I'm a German, and I feel like Latoria. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to explain that, but I see God really open your heart up to that in Jesus' name to reach all peoples and all peoples to love you and you love them, and maybe for business, maybe for whatever, I don't know exactly, but in Jesus' name, open it up. Amen. All right, 951-966, can we talk to Ruth from, please?
Okay, this is Regina.
Hi, Regina, from California. All right, California, thank you, Jesus, for California. Thank you, Lord, for the whole room of California. God, we thank you for the all the things that are going to happen in the earth, God. You're showing, you're opening up, Regina, to this thing of nothing can touch me, nothing can harm me, nothing can move me, nothing can take me down, nothing can, because I'm of God. And when you're of God and you're walking with God, nothing can harm me. That's why I said Psalm 91, when you're in the secret place of God. Let's go there and look at that for a second. In the secret place. We're going to go to the secret place for a second. Maybe we'll get a secret here. Let's see, what did I say? Psalms. I got so much flowing through my brain, y'all. Like, dear God, it's amazing. All right. It's moving so fast, too. It's just really awesome. I've got to keep up with it here. I've got to learn to talk faster or something. All right. Here we go. Psalms 91. Yep. For some reason, I'm going to go there. So there's something about God revealing to you, Regina, about living in the secret place, that no matter what's going on, that she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, Regina says, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. Not the government, not people, not me, not anything, not military, not weapons, not anything. I will say of the Lord that He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me, says Regina, from the snare of the fowler. Hang on a second here. From the snares that come, that try to snare me up. Whatever, it's emotional stuff, mental stuff, anxiety, stress, all the stuff trying to snare me up. He shall deliver me, says Regina, from the snares of the fowler. Hallowed that foul fowler. He's foul. And from the perilous pestilence, he shall cover Regina with his feathers like a mama taking care of her babies. And under his wings, you shall take refuge. And I see God giving you an image and understanding that as a mother has such a God-given passion to protect and love and make sure her children live and make it, that you're going to connect that to God because it's inside you as a mother, as a woman, to God Almighty. And all this stuff right here, his feathers, all this is going to become a real amazing thing. And under his wings, when he got the feathers going on, the mama feathers, the things that, you know, comfort, protect, watch over. And under his wings, under them, Regina, you shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at your side, Regina, and 10,000 at your right hand. But it shall not come near, Regina. Only with your eyes will you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Amen. Man, that was like, I said, God, that's amazing. I saw you walking in that. I saw you living in that. Dear Jesus, that was amazing. Hallelujah. All right. I'm getting lost where I was. I think 912. Did I already take 912? All right. 912. The Arctic 912 was. Hello, 912-339.
Hello, Prophet Randy. This is Angela Joy from Georgia.
Well, I knew that number was prayer. Going like, go ahead. Yeah.
Prayer for strength. Prayer about what? I need some strength.
Oh, bless your heart. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, you're a young chicken like me. Except we're not chickens. We're bold and bad to the bone. Yeah. Yeah, bold. That means courage. And courage is strength. And I thank you, Lord, for strength for her, God. God, I thank you, Jesus, for giving her the endurance of a 30-year-old in the peak of strength and abilities and muscle mass and the whole thing, and the youth, the vigor of youth. And Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you're renewing her youth, God, renewing her youth. Amen. I don't know if I got any youth left physically. I mean, as far as, you know, age-wise goes, but man, I got some youth in me, baby. I'm like, well, my God, thank you, Jesus, for this youth. I thank you, Lord, for the youth inside of her, God, renewing her youth as the eagle's wings. Is that what it says? I don't even know. Renewing her youth. Let me look that up. Renew. Hang on a second, y'all. I'm a little slow tonight. All right, let's go here. Renew. Come here. Renew. Yeah, it is renew my youth. I knew I was saying something right about that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that, look at that, it's right at the end here, that all that means this, so that Angela Joy's youth is renewed. So you got youth in you, girl. Me too. Renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Shakwarabawatemato. Come forth, youth. Come forth, Angela Joy's youth, so that your youth, in other words, you may be 50, 60, 70, whatever I am, you are, we are. We got youth in us, and God's renewing that youth in the name of Jesus. Let it be done. Renew the youth. Renew the youth. Renew the youth. Renew the youth like the eagles. Like the eagles. Like the eagles. Renew their youth. They pluck all their feathers out. That's what I've heard. They go and they beat their beak off on a rock. They got beak, and they knock it all off, and they get they pluck all their wings, their feathers out, and they get brand new wings and brand new feathers, and they renew their youth. Hallelujah, Shahata, receive it in the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, Amen. Woo, my Lord and my God. I've never seen that before. Renew your youth. Like what I saw, Angel Joy, was like, you got youth in you. Sometimes it gets covered up or messed up, or we can't see it, we can't find it. But yeah. And so Angela sent me a high five. I'm telling you, I saw like youth in you. It's like you didn't know you had a youth in you, maybe. And God, because sometimes we forget it, we got it in us. And then all of a sudden, God just renewed it. Like he got it there, and he renewed your youth. Hallelujah. So that, yeah, like eagles. And I remember that story years ago, Angela. Somebody told me about how the eagles do it. I mean, they're old. They get their feathers. They had their feathers a long time, their beak a long time. And they go and they literally hit their beak against a rock and break it all up. And God gives them brand new. And then they pluck their feathers out. They look horrible at first. But all of a sudden, their new feathers start growing in. Shaka mahele fapa. Let it be done, then let it be delivered now. Under her armpits, under your armpits. I see like youth. Why under the armpits? Don't ask me. Shekwante Machwala. Let it be done now in Jesus' name. All right, 442-242. You want to talk to Ruth Grimm, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Sonia and Dee. And Sonia needs you to pray for her liver. She's been having some pain in her liver.
And also, Reverend, can I say one thing and then I'll leave it alone?
Yeah, real quick, please.
Tonight when you was talking about with that guy, when you was talking about Texas was a capital, and you said you didn't. Anyway, I knew exactly when you said that. I said, oh, my God, the red heifer and his dealing with Israel, and you know the anyway, and being two other people that you said that you was gave a script. I said the scripture before you even said it. I just wanted you to know.
And pray, awesome. I need you to pray for my three sons, and I will say four because I got my grandson I'm raising as well.
Okay. Well, okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for that word. I appreciate that. That's really awesome. And pray for her liver. And pray for your three sons and your grandsons. We just thank you, Lord. You give you their names, but at least not this time around. But thank you, Jesus, for the whole thing you started out with, pray for her liver. And like the thing that came out of my spirit was that he's going to deliver your liver. It's like he's going to put a D-E in front of your L-I-V-E-R and deliver it. In other words, he wants to renew it, like D it, like when you redo something, you relive or you reliver or deliver. It's like, yeah. So thank you, Jesus, for deliver her liver. Make it new, Jesus. Give it new. I see new skin. I see new molecules. I see new, you know, organisms. I see new, you know, like chemicals in there that the Holy Spirit is using, like make it brand new. Make it new. It's like we're talking with Angela Joy. Renew their youth. Renew her liver. Make her liver new. Bring the new out of her liver. And she's the same to make it live like a liver would live. Renew, like reliver her deliver. Deliver her liver. All right, so we got names here. We got Greg, Andrew, Daniel, and grandson Isaiah. So thank you, Jesus, for Greg. We thank you, Lord, for Greg, for breaking the bondage, God, from him to be able to, so he can move past his past. No, we all have a past to walk. I had a past yesterday. I got a past 10 years ago. Sometimes we need to, even though I had a good past the last 10 years, I need to move forward into a brand new place, move past that past, as glorious as that past can be. You know, to move past it into a new thing where I can look back at my past and, man, that was even more glorious. So thank you, Lord, for breaking the bondage in Jesus' name. Every soul tie broken in Jesus' name so he can move forward in Jesus' name to a brand new thing, continually moving forward to brand new, always renewing, always delivering, always freeing in Jesus' name. So thank you for Andrew, God. Thank you for Andrew, the word of God and Andrew. God, come alive, bring forth the word in him, bring forth the word of life in him. Is the word is the only thing that can save us, and that is understanding the word, not just reading the word. We've got to read it to get it in us, but it's understanding that word, and when we understand the word, that's what saves us. Jesus told the Pharisees, that the religious people, that they said, you think just knowing the word saves you. He said, I am the word. I'm going to save you. Reading the word does not save you. It's understanding the word. Knowing who the word is, I thank you, Lord, for Andrew, God, a brand new level of that. And Jesus, and for Daniel, thank you, Lord, for Daniel, giving strength to stand strong, giving courage to stand up, giving a spinal cord, a brand new spinal cord, God, that don't just have a little bit of courage, but it's full of courage and full of strength, full of ability to be flexible at the same time, never bow, never bend. In Jesus' name, something about 11-11 with Daniel, 11-11, 11-11, maybe Daniel 11-11, I don't know, you might look it up. What is Daniel 11:11? Is there even a Daniel 11:11? I don't know. Let me look it up real quick. Ezekiel Daniel. Okay, Daniel. 11. What does 11:11 say? I don't know. Let's go here. 11:11. And the king of the south shall be moved with rage and go out and fight with him. And when the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into the hand of his enemy. All right. So that's kind of like talking about, I don't know, I just 11:11. I don't know if Daniel 11:11 is the right one or not, but when he was taken away with the multitude, his heart will be for that. Thousands. That's talking about the Antichrist being revealed and brought down, really. The king of the north will return. It's talking about the process of the leaders of the globe. So I don't know what that means exactly. Maybe she can be a part of that. All right, and then Grant sent Isaiah, think of Isaiah God, that Isaiah understands that Isaiah has a womb, a spiritual womb where God puts his word in there and gives him his word, God's word, to process it, to bring a living understanding of the word, not just some, you know, religious understanding of the word, but Isaiah is going to walk in a river of understanding the word of God, fresh and anew, and not some old thing. But if it's old, it's going to be new. And if it's the truth, it's the real truth, he's going to know it in Jesus' name and bring forth Isaiah, Father, to know the truth so the truth can set him free and set other people free. He will set other people free. It was 11:11 when you said Daniel. Oh, wow. Okay. Yes, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. And I did see that 11:11 because I looked at my clock when I said Daniel. I don't look at my clock or during the night. I just do my show. And I said Daniel, and I looked at the clock, and it said 11:11. And that's why I said that, because I knew that for some reason, 11:11, I don't know what 11:11 has to do with Daniel, but I did notice that. You know, I have to say, you know, that's exactly what happened. I saw the clock, 11:11, and like I say, I don't look at it most of the time during the night. And I just happened to look at it after I gave Daniel's name, and I realized I said Daniel's name at 11:11. So I don't know what that is about that, but yeah, something just happened with that. So it could be 11:11. I don't know what the scripture reference will be, but this is about you know, the battle is going to go on with the different kings, warring kings of north and south. It's kind of the heading of that. I don't know. I don't understand that, but maybe he's going to be a part of that or understand that. Maybe get revelation. Maybe he'll prophesy about it. Who knows? I don't know. There you go. All right. And for pray for the liver situation in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord, for Sonia, that you deliver her liver. Open her up to that release that information in Jesus' name. Let information heal her liver. Let the word of God, the information of the living word of God, get in there and make new in Jesus' name. And, of course, D, we thank you, Lord, for D. Thank you, Jesus, for D. And you're showing D that you don't make mistakes, God. And that even though sometimes people make mistakes and sometimes people do things that cause things to make it look like it was a mistake, that even if there was a mistake, that God takes the mistake and he makes it into something, he gives it a new take. A mistake turns into a new take. He's going to give it a new take. In other words, a new chance, new opportunities, new beginnings. And I thank you, Lord, for D, for new beginnings, God, for a new take on life, for a new take. Like, you know, as you guys have kind of been with PGN here again, you used to be with us a while back, and then now you're kind of back again a little bit here and what a great time we've been having with all this. And it's like God giving you a retake of what you've had before or something like that, like a retake. Like you're going to see a retake. Like, and you see a movie, and then you see a renewal of that same movie. It's the same movie, but it has new actors, and it's the same plot and everything about it, but it's a retake of it. Yeah. Don't ask me what that is. That's awesome. Hey, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, for D. Amen. All right. Okay. Wow. Amazing. Thank you, Jesus. All right. 662-806. Can we talk real quick, please?
This is Cynthia and Mike in Mississippi.
Hey, y'all. All right. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for that pleasantness, that pleasantry. I see y'all like in the mountains or something, or you know, I don't know whether you're going to visit the mountains or you're just going to have an atmosphere in your life like the beauty of the mountains, the beauty of the land, the beauty of the terrain. And yeah, the beauty of your terrain is going to change. Somebody just got, okay. And so I don't know what that is. It's just like I see your atmosphere, your terrain. I don't know if it's literally physical or not, but it's like to this beautiful place. I see, like, you know, the fog and the clouds, the beautiful of it. It's beautiful trees, like mountains, and I see farmland with the beautiful green growing grass and growing, you know, rocks and all the beauty. the beauty of the land. I see, I don't know what that is about y'all, Cynthia and Mike, in Jesus' name, but I thank you, Lord, for bringing them to that new land, like you're coming to a new land, like a new place, like a new, you're going to be living in a new life or something with the new surroundings, a new, you know, the beauty of it. I don't know if that's literally physical or just a spiritual thing, but I see that happening for you in Jesus' name. And you're just like going outside and like taking a deep breath and like, oh yeah, look at this, man. Woo, breathing in that atmosphere, that newness, that the glory of it, the beauty of it, the massiveness of it, the having plenty of space to you know, breathe and see life. And I don't know, it's like maybe it's your perspective that God's changing and moving you into a bigger place, but you're moving into a bigger place with God. And it's beautiful, and it's powerful, and it's multifaceted, and yet it's like amazing. It's like some parts of you is going to be like, you know, maintained, that, you know, when people help people do things, they maintain the land. You can tell that people are working on the land, growing stuff. Then you see the parts of the mountains that nobody's messing with. The trees are just growing because God put them there to do what they're doing. It's like natural beauty. And so I'm not sure what I'm seeing here, but in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for that with Mike and Cynthia. Thank you, Jesus, for Mike. God, we thank you for giving him the courage, God, to believe you, to believe you in ways he never has before. He believes you, he knows you. But I thank you, Lord, that he will believe you and know you in a way that he's never known before, like an intimacy, like a beauty, like a friendship with Jesus, and knowing that the Lord is glorious and awesome, but he's also my friend. He cares about me in a very special way, in a very special relationship, Lord, with Cynthia, God, that you're renewing her relationship, Jesus, and open her up to, you know, learning how to relax and rest and enjoy, and learning how to enjoy things. I mean, I know we all know how to enjoy things, but really how to really get the most enjoyable joy out of everything. Learning how to enjoy life in different parts of life that maybe you didn't enjoy that much before, but now you're going to find yourself like enjoying things, like, why am I enjoying this? It's not really that much. Like, oh, yeah, I don't know either, but it's God. And that's the whole thing with the mountains and the land, the green, the beauty of all that. I think it has something to do with that, enjoying life. Wow, that's cool, man. All right, I love this stuff. All right, 111-111-111. Who am I talking to in front, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. It's Barbara from Texas.
Hey, Barbara. I just gave you your whole number, 111-111-111. Sorry. I mess with you, of course. Yeah, it's usually, you know, we don't give the point with that, messing with Barbara, is that we don't give the number. We only give, like, the first, you know, six digits. We don't give the whole thing. That way nobody can go, oh, I'm going to call them. They sound like they're pretty cool or whatever. So you can't, 111-111, that's not a number. Anyway, so there you go. All right, so there's something about that. God changing your numbers. Okay, hang on a second here. Cynthia asking me, Randy, we are getting married and are looking to move. Oh, my gosh. So Mike and Cynthia are going to get married. Congratulations with you guys. My gosh. I was hoping that, but I didn't know. And I kept seeing this whole different life, and it was really amazing. So it's about marriage. Well, that's going to be pretty cool, because what I saw, the beauty of that was like, because I love the mountains and I love the land, being a farmer, and yet I love, when I have visions of God, you know, I have visions of mountains for some reason, because I relate to God. I love the mountains and the beauty of it. So I knew it was something really beautiful and awesome, and they're thinking about moving. So that's what it is. Thank you for saying that, y'all. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Cynthia. Woo, cool, man. All right, so Barbara tonight. 111-111. As I mess with people about things, I find there's something about that, like God bringing all your ones together. You know, the things you put first with God, you got all these ones. Like some people got one, 50, 70, you know, 33, 22. But no, Barbara's got like 111-111. Like all your ones. Like putting God first. Like all the areas you put God first. You know, we put God first overall, but then when we go through a hard time, and maybe a financial hard time or whatever, then we have to find out how to put God first in our finances. Then we get that kind of going on, and then we go to another area about relationships, and we learn how to put God at number one in that relationship. And so it's a process of thing. And so, like, I see you're 1-1-1, 1-1-1, 1-1-1-1, like God, you know, and then it becomes a fence. Then it becomes like a fence of protection, a fence of like a hedge, you know, like a protection, a hedge of protection. Because when you put God first in your life in all those different areas, then what do you have? You have protection, you know, because you put God first. When you put God first, then God protects you. So I thank you, Lord, for that realm of protection, that realm of provision for Barbara, the 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1, like a big fence, like a big, you know, thing of protection, a wall of protection, you know, because of putting God first, that's what happens. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those other things will be added to you, including protection and provision. Amen. Let it be done in Jesus' name. All right. Cool. All right. Awesome. All right. 251-229. Who am I talking to, real quick, please?
Yes, this is Sarah from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. Good to have you tonight.
Sarah from.
All right, Sarah. Thank you so much. Yeah, I think my computer's trying to play a game over. There we go. There we got it. All right, Sarah. Good to have you tonight. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Jesus, for that fun thing, God, for showing Sarah how to have fun, how to just break back and just laugh like a, one of my daughters used to like. She would laugh when she really laughed. She laughed so everybody laughed when she laughed. She would have a gut busting. Her belly would go up and down when she laughed. She would laugh so hard. It was the sweetest thing, and I always remember that. Literally had to pull over the car one time because she was laughing so hard. And I started laughing because she was laughing, and it was the cutest, most powerful thing in the world. And so I thank you, Lord, for that laughter with my sister, God. I thank you, Jesus, of being able to just gut bust and laugh. Like when I saw my first vision, my only one and only vision of Jesus, open vision of Jesus, I saw him, and I know what he looks like because of that. He's, you know, he was laughing. And it was a gut-busting, belly-flopping laugh. It was. That's what it was. Yeah, it was amazing. And so thank you, Jesus, for that. And opening that up for her, God, and just, you know, the rivers of joy, rivers of laughter, rivers of, you know, just breaking loose any pain and heartache and suffering and things she goes through privately and secretly, suffering through things and trying to work her way through stuff. God, I think that's just all of a sudden a flood of joy, a flood of blessing, a flood of just gut busting, belly flopping, laughing, and just laugh and laugh and laugh and be blessed. Enjoy life and enjoying life, learning how to see that, yeah, we suffer and we go through things and we cry, we do all that. It's all part of life. But also we need to laugh too. We need to laugh more than we cry. I mean, and I thank you, Jesus, for opening her up to that, God, in a brand new level, at a brand new level. Not that you don't do it, but at a brand new level. Hallelujah, from the joy of the Holy Ghost and fire. And I feel an anointing on this. I mean, I literally feel an anointing going through my arms, you know. Yeah, right now, just woosha, like a woosha, 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 bahe. Yeah, woosha, bahe. That sounds pretty good, too. Woosha, bahe. Trying to repeat what I said, woosha, woosha, bahe. When it comes out of my spirit, it just comes out naturally. When I try to repeat it, it's like I have to work on it. That's why I know it's not the same. All right, fill her with the Holy Ghost, God, and Jesus, and fill her with a fresh, overflowing, love floating, boat floating, Holy Ghost rolling, laughter and joy and freedom and Jesus, at a brand new level, at a brand new level. Filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus, and fire and love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, there's Angie. All right, Ann, so you got kept getting knocked off, huh?
I'm having trouble again. It must be a good night, huh?
I think it is, yeah. Right. At this minute, you're my last caller, so the last shall be first, right? There you go. That's good.
Amen.
I'm sorry that happened to you, but I think I just didn't pay attention. I got lost, and sorry about that, but thank you for being patient. Yeah, I love you too. Thank you, Jesus, for my sister, God. And thank you, Lord, for that recovery thing, that whole thing of recovery, 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 recovery. With a recovery, we've seen you recover from that thing you got healed of a few years ago. And like, all of a sudden, I saw that as God showing you the spirit of recovery. He was recovering you and restoring you and recovering you back to your original state as far as, you know, of health and blessing. So, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, tonight for my sister, God, the recovering all things. The spirit of recovery. Not only is he recovering you, like protecting you, like you're covering, like putting a covering over you, or to recover you, to make sure you're covered, to make sure you're covered, you know, protected, like a man, you know, protects a woman, like a covering, you know, like Jesus, like Christ covers us and protects us. Thank God, that's the best covering to have. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for recovering her, Jesus. Recover. And, of course, when he covers us, then we begin to recover. And like when that God healed you a few years back, when that happened, it's like that was a recovery, like a taste of God's recovery, the spirit of recovery and restoring that which had been lost to restore it, God. I thank you in Jesus' name for giving her real hope, God, the hope that comes from God, the hope that comes from the Holy Spirit. Because we all lose hope about things at times. We all lose our hope. We all lose our way. We all lose, you know, that we have to be recovered back to where we were. Maybe we get like she was in an accident, lost and damaged her brain, and it was gone forever without Jesus. And then all of a sudden, Jesus recovered it for her. He recovered it because she cried out to him. Hallelujah. Zoko shakwara maha ni krato kawa. Hallelujah. Recover everything spiritually, recover everything emotionally, everything mentally, everything financially, everything relationally. I'm going to recover it all. God wants you to, I just sense, Nancy, that he's wanting you to really know him and believe him for recovery in all those areas we just mentioned. That was just a few of them, I'm sure, but hallelujah. Bakwa, 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 bakwale, balapo, kano. Recovery and restoration of all things, recovering all things. And that you have that mindset toward that. You know, if you have a mindset toward that, I think it's the right word, mindset toward recovery, your mindset on that. Recovery, total recovery. Yeah, when Christ comes back, we're going to be totally recovered. We may be 100 years old, 75 years old, 80, 50, whatever we are, but we're going to, when he splits the sky, we need, what I think my goal is that when he comes back, I'll be standing there going like, okay, Jesus, I'm recovered as you can get without you. I am recovered as you can get without you, you know, doing the final job. It's like some people are going to have a major, you know, I don't know how to explain this, a major recovery job. But some of us, we're going to be recovering to the point when he splits the sky open and comes back. It's going to be like blink, and it recovered because we're right there. We're right there, right there. And then he finishes the job. And with some people, it's going to, you know, like be like a little while, you know, because they haven't been recovering. But those who have been walking in that recovery realm, almost to the peak of recovery, as much as we can without Christ, all of a sudden, you know, not for long, you know, it's like done, recovered. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for that mindset, that setting her mind, God, to recovery. In Jesus' name, just like she did when she got healed, that brain thing. Thank you, God, for that. Hallelujah. Wow, amazing. Really amazing. All right. I love that, man. I'm seeing stuff tonight, man. I'm seeing stuff tonight. What's up? I don't know. But... All right. Nobody else has their hand up. So I'm going to take a break. I'll be right here and be right back. All right, 503. Hang on a second here. We got a caller. All right, 503-318. I'm going to talk to your friend, please.
Hi, Randy. This is Robin. From Oregon.
Hey, Robin.
Hello.
All right. Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you. Thank you for Robin. Thank you, Lord, for that putting that new song in her heart, God, the new song, to sing, to worship God, to be thankful. That whole thing about being thankful, we talked about this, I think, last week or something. I think on Thursday, where Jesus had this thing about how do you make life be blessed and increase and multiply, where you're always, connecting with goodness and godliness and hope and joy and friendship and love. And you can be alone all by yourself and have like your fellowship with God Almighty, like you're never alone. You can be with a lot of, have all the different relationships and all this wonderful stuff. And we thank you, Lord, for the abundance of life, God, that you're putting in her heart to have the abundance of life, not just barely making it okay, fine, but to have an abundance of life. It would start with the fellowship with God. Start with the fellowship with God, and then it takes us to, life itself, to where we enjoy life. Enjoying life isn't just fellowship with God. Fellowship with God draws us into enjoying every part of life, every human being, every different kind of human being. We see God in everything. We see God, we see God in the devil, but you see God in everything that God created. Everything that God created, you see God in it. You see, you become extremely thankful. And becoming thankful is what opens up that realm of, gratitude that Jesus gave thanks. He was feeding 5,000, about 20,000 people actually, that needed food, didn't have enough food, didn't have enough of anything, what he needed. And he took the 5 loaves, 2 fish, which wasn't near enough, blessed it, gave thanks, blessed it, and broke it. Well, I thank you for Robin, God, singing a song in her heart, God, where she can give thanks to you, God, and see the God in everything, even negative situations that seem to be negative, God, to see you in them somehow, some way. God, where she's always, living in life and living in joy, living in peace, living in some kind of comfort, even in her suffering, even in her pain, even in her feeling like she doesn't have enough or doesn't have enough of whatever it is. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that spirit of gratitude that's already in her, God, to bring it to a whole other level of, power and appreciation and thankfulness and gratitude, God, for breath that we have to breathe, the simple things of life, God, that sometimes it's like a football team, and the professional football players will forget the basics and they start losing games, and the coach takes these big professional guys who play ball all the time. You know what he does? He takes them back, and they go back to the very beginning of how to block and tackle what they learned back in junior high, because sometimes they forget stuff. So sometimes we do that with life. Well, I think that she's going to see the beauty in everything. In Jesus' name, and open up. You're going to open up her heart, God, in new ways, where she will, literally have insight to see God in every circumstance, every situation, even though it may be negative. Working it out for good, it's going to end up being better than, all this negative stuff is a sign from God that He's going to do something great in my life. In Jesus' name, and she will walk in that, live in that, and a whole new level of God. And it will save her and keep her and protect her and cause her to live in a place of protection, in Jesus' name, in her mind, in her heart, in her literally in her physical life, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, y'all, I'm going to be here, wait a little bit longer and see if anybody else calls in. And all right, I'll be back in a minute.